Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So take that. A broken fibula, my friend.
And I'm not even going to get into what I've been dealing with, and you guys have all seen for the past, what, 3 months?
He's got serious problems.
My God, I should be in a hospital.
Exactly. So.
Can't afford it.
Suck on that for a while.
Hey, now.
While you enjoy your gorgeous Bay Area Saturday.
Hey, while we have the KD antenna all the way up, remember early in the show? And I know you're a big fan of conspiracies.
I am a huge believer in many conspiracies.
And we got a text about a KD conspiracy that I threw at you. And we put it in our pocket for later, and I think now is the time.
All right, whip it out.
Okay, I'm going to paraphrase, because once again, I did go trying to find it on the Chilton Autobody text line, but just you guys have been so all over it today that I just can't find it, so I'm going to paraphrase. It's conspiracy. KD's not really all that hurt. KD just wants everybody to know that the Warriors are not the Warriors without KD, and the texter says, and this is going to increase his bargaining power come free agency. To which I say, and I rarely say this, I don't know if I ever have before, poppycock.
Poppycock, you say?
That's poppycock.
Wow.
First off, KD doesn't need any bargaining tools. He's either going to get the supermax from one team or he's going to get the max from another team. So why does he need bargaining power? The only way this is accurate is if KD's the most petty superstar in the history of superstars. And I don't think he is.
It has crossed my mind. I will be honest enough to say it has crossed my mind because in a 24-hour day, I have many thoughts, some of which go towards sports, some of which just go into fantasy land. It has crossed my mind that Kevin Durant was hurt and continued to hear the Warriors are much better without Kevin Durant. Look at how they pass the ball and everyone gets the touch. They're moving it so much more. Steve Kerr's 200 passes a game. Now they're back to it. Before it was ISO
right,
basketball.
Right.
And the more Durant heard that, the more he just kind of sat back and heard it. Took it in.
At the cost of another NBA title, too?
Really? Oh, and then it was this. Wait a minute. I'm not done.
All right.
Because then the echoes grew into this. You know what? It'd be really poetic for them to win a championship with this core at the end of the run at Oracle, because it's the core group that started
right. The
championship. And he hears that echo, and that started to build a little bit in the fan base. There are Warrior fans listening to 95.7 The Game right now who would prefer in their heart of hearts that this core group won a championship without Kevin Durant.
I don't disagree with that.
And he hears that. And while I believe he was hurt, I think maybe he sits and says, you want it. It's like I used to
make it sound like
you
make it sound like he's sensitive to negative attention.
It's never. I know. Has he ever shown to be that before?
Nah.
As I bring it up, but I'm telling you, it's a thought that crossed my mind. I'm not telling you I believe this.
Yeah, I don't believe it,
but
I get why it would surface.
Why would I think it? Because you've got a remember Choir Sultan. Remember, that's his burner account when he's bashing people.
What was it?
Choir Sultan.
Choir Sultan.
Yeah, Choir Sultan. It was the corner. There was the crossroads of the two streets near where he used to live.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it's the corner of Choir and Sultan. So he made it Choir Sultan. And he was getting into fights with 15-year-olds on Instagram. And
not
stuff.
Very. I mean, he basically gave people clues as to who might be behind this burner account with putting his residence nearby, right?
So here's the deal. So if I believe that, you don't think it's far-fetched for some Warrior fans to think, you know, he's not that hurt. He's just sitting there. I'm just telling you.
No, I agree. I think there are some fans out there that think that.
I agree.
I choose not to. I think that would be unprecedented in the history of pettiness, sports pettiness. It's like, I want to prove, at the cost of my third ring and potentially my third finals MVP, cementing this is a three-peat. He led a three-peat. There's not many superstars that have done that. This elevates him to another level.
Yep.
If he wins a third straight finals MVP, he's going to say no to that just to prove this point?
Actually, I would say if he did that, the discussion of the players of this era is no longer LeBron and Steph. It's LeBron and KD. And Steph actually gets moved down.
Totally agree. And I think it's already that.
If it go, you do?
Yep.
That could be. Can we jump down to line five? Because not only are ladies first here, although we've got Brenda as well, but Stephanie is a Raptors fan from Toronto who came for the game. Stephanie, what part of Toronto? The Danforth, I might ask? Stephanie, where are you from in Toronto? T.O.
Downtown.
Downtown, okay, so you live downtown. So what brought you out here? Were you just out here for the games, or are you out here on business and you just were lucky enough to go to the games?
No, specifically for the game. So I am a diehard fan. I will go to Cleveland, Indiana, every playoff game they have done since 2013, I've been going. So,
okay. Family money? Family money, Stephanie?
No, actually, I live here on point. My husband's point.
Oh,
nice.
I was going to say, do you need a boyfriend? Because I'd be happy to be your boyfriend.
That's family money right there, yeah, if it's the husband's plane.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
husband's
no,
family.
No family money.
Oh, okay.
No, husband's not rich either.
So how did that feel last night, Stephanie, being out there with all your fellow Raptor fans after the game, hanging out, chanting We the North, singing the Canadian national anthem? It was, look, as a diehard Warriors fan, I could relate. It's you're on the brink of something that you were told was never going to happen, and it feels damn good right now. The job is not done, but I don't begrudge you guys that joy you felt last night, because I felt it in 2015.
Exactly. Like, we've been waiting 24 years. We were laughed at before. I've been there. So I've been there. Highs, lows, Carter, all that stuff. Die hard fan. So even when we made the 2013, 2014, 2015, like, we used to get laughed at. So to fly here, to see it happen, to be down there with all the other fans was just absolutely incredible. First of all, I also thought there was like 30 of us, 50 of us. To see the crowd after the game that they won was just goosebumps. Like, you're just so inspired and excited, and it feels really different. The only downside I'll have is when all of the Warriors fans were leaving. Like, they wouldn't even wait till the game ended. They just got up. It's just so embarrassed. Because even when the Raptors had lost, because obviously they've lost before other series, we stayed in the stands. Like, we cheered. Like, that's why LeBron would even shout us out. Like, we the North fans were, like, unbelievable. Just because, yeah, like, we'll stick to the bitter end even if they lose. So to watch all the other Warriors fans just get up and leave, I could not imagine that happening in Toronto.
Well, you know, I mean, this is a fan base that's seen a lot of great stuff, and they're a little butthurt, quite frankly. I know you don't like that term, but
I was disappointed, though. Like,
that they were leaving?
Yeah.
Did you stay, Stephanie, to sing Oh Canada and continue the the North chant? You stayed there for that, Steph?
I had my flag. I went down there. I was yelling, taking pictures, yelling, cheering, even NBC afterwards and CBC, all the different TV stuff. Like, I had my flag. Like, I flew all the way here. I'm going to yell. I'm going to scream. I'm going to cheer. I'm going to stay to the very end until they kick us out.
Well, there you go.
How certain are you that you're not going to have to come back for game six?
Oh, the way. So I've been listening to you guys on and off the last couple hours since you guys have been on. The conspiracy theory, I think, is really cute, but I don't think so. I think we'll be done at five. Also, this might be a little controversial. We should have won game two. Steph Curry, so that three-pointer shot, he traveled before that. Had the refs seen that, we would have been winning last night.
Totally agree, Stephanie.
So,
totally agree.
On the flip side, I am glad that they did lose, because now we will go back home and we'll win right where we need to be, at home, on home court.
Wow, well.
The Raptors are here.
Masai Ujiri predicted it. We will win the championship, and we will win it in Toronto.
Stephanie, somebody is suggesting that you are, in fact, Drake with a fake voice.
Oh, is that true?
I would love to be Drake with a fake voice, but no, I have to.
Your husband would not like that at all.
Yes.
You'd be kicked off the plane.
I like it. Stephanie, we hope you have had a safe and fun time in our Bay Area, and thank you for helping our economy by coming out here. What are you doing today? Anything? Well, she's already gone. She's already left us.
All right. But, we'll see you at game six.
Hope you had some fun.
Look at that. You turned me.
I'm telling you. Did Stephanie join us on the dial pad guest line? Dial pad?
I believe she
helps
did.
Helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just in case people are wondering, they're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD.
No.
No?
Didn't I do that? I thought I did that.
You did it last hour. It's a radio.com sports station. That's why we've got each other's back.
See, there. Let's also be fair here. A lot of Warrior fans did leave, but not all of them.
No, right.
And there are some who stay to the very end from the 415, calling BS on that. So it's you're right. But in the very end, very, very end, when most people had really left, there were a ton of Canadians.
There were. And the 510, those weren't the diehards leaving. Those were just the rich bandwagon fans.
Oh, wow. Now we've got Warrior on Warrior Crime.
How about this? The 510, LOL, these Canadians are even kind when they brag. How cute. Dubs in 7, tell those fans to come to East Oakland with that same cheerful energy.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I love that.
Let's get Couch Potato, because he was nice enough to call back.
CP.
And I'm a big fan of the 505. Couch Potato, give me a deal. What do you got from last night's game?
Well, first of all, I know you guys like to say, don't tell me, show me. And I know a lot of people call in and say they love the show, but I'm showing you how much I love the show by being on hold for an hour and 1 minute. So let's get to it, eh?
You're the best.
Eh?
Okay. Listen, first of all, I'm a Warriors season ticket holder, Bay Area native, et cetera. The crowd last night, I hate to say it, they sucked. They just didn't bring it at all.
I disagree.
He was there. Listen to Couch Potato.
Listen, I can tell how loud it is, because when it gets loud in there, your hearing cuts out. It's like being next to a jet engine. And it was loud early, but it just wasn't there. And the other thing I want to say, Toronto fans were great, but to the gentleman you were interviewing saying there were 2,000 Toronto fans there, wrong. I got there at 4, and you could count them because you could see the red jerseys. There might have been 400 or 500, but mad props to them because they were making almost as much noise as the Warriors. When the Raptors went on that run, they were loud after every basket. So I got to tip my hat to the Toronto fans. But I got to tell you, where this hole we are in right now started back November, December. The injuries, one after another, the tempting the basketball gods by screwing around in a lot of these games. Hey, if this goes 7, fellas, check it out. If that game is in Toronto, it could have just as easily been at Oracle because they finished one game behind Toronto in the record. Mm. So check that out. They really need to think about where they are going forward. To me, they look gassed. I got there at 4 o'clock. I watched Steph warm up. He missed his first 3 or 4 left-handed layups. The way he starts his routine, he looked gassed to me. And the last thing I want to say is all this BS about Nick Nurse being a great coach. Hey, the woman who called him for Toronto was right. They could have won game 2, but they didn't because Nick Nurse went with that junk box of one. Listen, even guys like Van Gundy and the rest of these cats who know the game were saying they've never seen that. You might see it in high school. You rarely see it in college. You don't see it in the pros. That was desperation. And Van Gundy also said, you coach to the result. He made that move. They lost the game. So let's just pump the brakes on the genius Nick Nurse.
But I'll tell you, but Couch Potato, and I appreciate you calling back, but the Warriors have only scored 1 point in the box and one.
Yeah.
They've shot it 11 times. They're not beating the box
in 11 possessions against the box and one, they scored 0 field goals. Their points came at the free throw line. So how can you say that that didn't work?
All
great
right.
Call, though. I mean, I appreciate you calling, and I will take
and
your word for it.
Showing us what he cares about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, look, while I disagree with him about whether or not the fans brought it, I wasn't there. I wasn't in the house. So I will defer to him. It seemed to me like the fans brought it, but hey, he was in the house.
Michael, you're bringing it.
I've got something interesting that before we go to the break. Actually, you know what?
You want to wait?
Here it is. I've got a nugget for you. If you're wondering if the Warriors might be just a little bit tired, the last caller said they watched Steph in his pregame warm-up. He looked a little bit gassed. I've got a little nugget.
Oh.
You know, Uncle Townie's probably listening right now. Oh. Herb's got a nugget. Herb, but hey, he was my mentor at one point. I know how to tease. I've got a nugget that's going to tell you exactly why Steph might be a little bit tired and why any team in this Warriors situation should damn well be tired.
Oh, that's all coming up. Urban, Cozumel, and you on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Urban and Cozumel.
Oh, this music pumped me up!
Exactly. How can it not? What do you think of when you think of this song, when you hear this song?
Well, I was just going to say, I've burnt so many brain cells. I know this song. I want to say Rocky. Oh, Europe, the final... Oh, the MTV hair band era. Very nice. Yeah, that pumps me up. I get fired up for that. Do you want my nugget? You know what pumps me up? Is that we just got a text from the 956. It says, sounds like Herbs has a teaser for me. And I'm hoping that's Uncle Townie. I don't think it is, but I did shout out Townie, and you know he's kind of my teasing mentor. But I do have a nugget for you, Coach.
Can I just real quick tell you what I think of when I hear that?
Yep.
I think of the great show Arrested Development and Will Arnett's character, who was a magician, and he would do his tricks to that. That was the opening song.
The Final Countdown?
Job. He was Job, which is one of the great characters in sitcom history. And he was a magician, and he would come out to that song.
How about this? Jason Bateman, one of my favorite actors, and I've never seen Arrested Development.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's Netflix. If you can get every season on Netflix, start with the first one.
Okay.
Watch it. My wife and I, when we just first had kids and you only didn't get a lot of time alone, once a week, 30 minutes, Arrested Development. We
really?
Watched it. We, at the time, taped it. No DVRs when it started, right. I believe. Watched it immediately after because there's so many small jokes in between. You miss them as you're watching.
Really?
It's a brilliantly written comedy journey.
Yeah, sold.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
I give it my highest regard. All right. Yes. All right. You need to pay off a tease.
You want my nugget?
I've been trying to get your nugget for a while.
Okay. If Steph Curry looks a little bit tired, if these injuries, as one of the callers said, came one after another, might be there a reason for that? Well, how about this, Coz? The playoffs last how long? 2.5 months?
Yeah, it's a long time. You have to win 16 games.
Yeah, and so there's a potential for you playing in 28 playoff games.
You can go 7 games 4 times.
Regular season is 82 games.
Yes.
So the Warriors have played up to 30% more basketball than every other team over these past 5 years. 28 games into 82, it's about 30% more. They're playing an extra, and it's not just regular season, 30% regular season. And granted, they didn't play the full 28 any of the All years. Right. They didn't go 7-7-7. But nope. The potential is there. That screams to me the NBA needs to dial something back. Because when you're playing 30% of a regular, potentially 30% of a regular season at playoff intensity, of course it's going to be a war of attrition.
I'll add to that nugget. In 4 seasons, they've played 5 NBA seasons if you count just their playoff games. They've played 83 playoff games going into this year.
Wow.
That's how many they played. Phil Barber knows more than that. Phil Barber is the excellent sports columnist over at the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, and he has been sitting on hold listening to your nuggets, and he loves them.
He's going to love me even more because I saw him on TV last night, and he looked fantastic.
Handsome
Phil,
man.
What's going on, brother?
Handsome man.
Hey, guys. Don't bring me in. I want to hear the banter more. Just
who doesn't?
Put me on hold for another 5 minutes.
Management doesn't want to
hear
this banter.
Result.
Phil, tell me about the TV exposure. Are you a big? You like the cameras now, don't you? Did you make love to the cameras?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I do love the exposure of those post-game press conferences, because until about 3 years ago, I think all my friends knew exactly what I did, but they didn't really care. And now they televise all those post-game pressers, and now I get texts from friends who really don't even care that much about the Warriors because they've come to learn that there's a small chance they'll see me ask somebody a stupid question if they tune in after the game.
Phil, you are way more important now that you've appeared on TV. When I got a job at CSN working alongside Coz, my first job ever in TV, I swear, overnight I became much cooler, much more popular. Everybody loved me just because I was on TV. But I'm not saying that's why people love you. You got good stuff.
No, I needed that validation, and I'm getting it currently on ESPN.
There you go.
All right, let's get this thing rolling, Phil. Warriors and Raptors. Nick Nurse versus Steve Kerr. Is there a winner in this battle, or are we just finding new things to discuss because this thing has taken so long?
No, I think, you know, it's so easy for us to compare and evaluate the players in a series. It's fair to look at the coaches and see what they've done. And a lot of what NBA coaches do, a lot of the important stuff happens in between games. And I think Steve Kerr and his staff have always been particularly great at the in-between, and even between seasons, and just, you know, maintenance, team maintenance, and just the way that they handle players and keep spirits up and keep people involved. They've always gotten an A+ on that. But I don't know that Kerr has always been the best in-game coach. You know, I don't think he's a Greg Popovich in that way. And I do feel like up to now, Nick Nurse and his staff have really gotten the better of the Warriors. And I do feel like last night was a time when, the Raptors, even though they're the ones winning the series, I feel like they've made some changes along the way, and they've tinkered a bit. And I don't think the Warriors have found an answer to what they've done.
Is that a lack of creativity or a lack of options?
I do think it's both. I mean, certainly that's a shorthanded team right now. Their most dominant player is out, and who knows when he's going to play. Klay missed a game. Other guys have been banged up, and that's real. That's a factor. And you know, part of it is they also have some young guys they just simply don't trust right now. So there's only so many options that the Warriors can dial up at this point. It's limited in that way. But I also think there's a formula that Steve Kerr has followed during these 5 years that has, you know, proved to be a winning formula. There's no question about it. And I think, you know, you go into any big series at this point, if you're the Warriors, and you think, why would we change this formula? We've won 3 championships. We almost won a 4th. We're battling for another one now. You know, we know what we do well. Why change that at this point? But obviously there's times when you do need to tinker, and they have done that in the past successfully. And I don't feel like that they've found the right combination or the right chip to move in this one.
Phil Barber, Santa Rosa Press Democrat, joining us 95.7 The Game, Urban and Cozumel with you. All right, I'm bringing this up, and I don't know why it's taken us so long to talk about it more in depth. I don't know why more shows aren't talking about this more in depth, or writers writing about it, or national people talking about it. When this version of the Warriors, when the book is written on this, the face of that book is going to be Steph Curry. Steph Curry has been almost persona non grata in this series. Sure, he had 47, but it was in a failing effort. He had the quietest 27 yesterday. Why isn't Steph Curry taking more heat for the fact that this team is limping its way to the finish line, not sprinting, galloping, or even running step for step or stride for stride with the Toronto Raptors?
Well, I do think he's taking some heat, but I think a lot of people feel like that's one of the flaws in the coaching strategy that we were just talking about, because I think that the Warriors have relied on what they've always done to get Steph Curry his shots. And when that offense is flowing in the beautiful way that it has over the years, the ball finds him. You know, he moves like crazy, but the ball finds him, and he gets his open looks, and he scores his points. And the Raptors are a very good defensive team, and they have long arms and great anticipation, and they have really closed up a lot of those passing lanes, and they've thrown the Warriors off balance. And I don't think the Warriors have found their counterpunch with that. And more specifically, I don't think that they've really found a way to get Steph Curry those shots when they aren't just falling to him. So, you know, the ball wasn't in his hands that much last night. They were really relying on Steph moving off ball and somebody else finding him. And he did get his points, but they needed more from him that night. But I think a lot of people see it not as a Stephen Curry shortcoming, but as a Warriors shortcoming in terms of not getting in the ball that much. And I don't know, I also don't want to dismiss that 47-point game. He was absolutely incredible. incredible in that game. And the Raptors, I thought, weren't terrible defending him that night. A lot of those were contested shots, and he was at his best, but we haven't seen that enough.
Phil, Coase and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I want to bring it up to you and see what you think. The Warriors, to me, are not as currently constructed. Now, if you got KD, maybe it's a different deal. But to come back from a late 10-point deficit, in the past, when they've got all their components going, you think, okay, 10-point deficit, you can wipe that out in three possessions, three stops, three threes, and you know maybe a free throw or whatever. You know what I mean? But it seems like without KD, when they get down big, and kudos to Steph for being the guy to recognize this, he doesn't always go hunting for threes. He's like, if they're going to take away the three, which you should if you've got a double-digit lead against the Warriors, my first and they're without KD, my first thing would be no threes by Steph Curry. Okay, so you take that away. Steph's willing to go to the bucket, try to draw fouls, get twos. It seems like the rest of the guys, they're obsessed with hunting threes because they feel like we've got to get as much of this back per possession as possible.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I definitely don't think that the Warriors, who are not Steph Curry, have been all that great offensively down the stretch of several of these games. And, you know, last night, I think part of the problem was Klay Thompson came back and played his butt off and played a lot of minutes. And I think he was gassed by the end. I thought, considering that he hadn't played the game before, they really got a lot out of him at that game. I thought that was a pretty gutty performance. But I do think that he ran out of gas sometime late in that game. And they obviously could have really used him getting up some more shots in the fourth quarter. But he paid a pretty big toll on the defensive end because the Warriors did not baby him coming back. They gave him some pretty tough assignments. So that was part of the problem. But, you know, with Durant out now, we've seen it a lot in this series. They don't have a ton of scoring options on that team, which sounds crazy because they've been such a fantastic offensive team for 5 years now. But with Durant is out and either Curry or Thompson isn't on the floor, man, second or third option, you're getting to pretty slim pickings, really.
Phil Barber, the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, joining us in the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Urban and Cozumore here, 95.7 The Game. All right, here's what we've got. Kawhi Leonard, he was a complete assassin. He came out with threes to start the second half that were just gut punches and almost they were almost picturesque stare downs of the Warriors to let them know what they meant and what he meant about business being done last night in Game 4. Is there anything the Warriors can do to slow him down? No one's going to stop him, but is there anything they can do to slow him down? I don't remember him being that good in Game 1.
I can't figure out a discernible defensive strategy they're employing against him. How about you, Phil?
Well, I think they've done a lot to slow him down. Last night he was fantastic, and he asserted his will for sure. I thought they were really good against him in the first couple games of the series, and his shooting percentages were not good in those games. I thought that they were putting two or three bodies on him when they could, and really making him work for his shots, and generally did a great job with him. And they won one of those games, and the game that they did win, I thought that was one of the keys, was the defense they played against Kawhi. But the thing about him is, you know, he's one of those heady players like Steph and, you know, like James Harden. We saw a couple series ago where you can put that pressure on them, but they're pretty good passers too, and they know when to give it up and when to take the shot. And what amazes me the most about Kawhi, and I think it's just been fascinating watching him in this series, is how utterly imperturbable he is. I mean, I just, if my house was on fire and I had to get the kids out and save a few important documents, I would want Kawhi Leonard there. You know, just calmly picking stuff up and walking out of the house. He probably wouldn't even break a sweat. And I think it's really contagious, that attitude or that demeanor on the Raptors. I think they totally follow his lead. And what's one thing that struck me about this series is that the Warriors had that 18-0 run to start the second quarter in game two, and that, you know, turned the whole game for them. And at the time, it looked like it might turn the series. That's the only time, really, that they've gone on a big run like that. Every time they make a little six-point run and you think, yep, here we go, these are the Warriors, the Raptors come up with a big play. They come up with a couple of defensive stops, or they hit a three-pointer, and they don't allow things to get out of hand. And I think all of that starts with Kawhi.
Now, Phil, if your career were on fire and you needed to get a riveting athlete interview to save it, you would probably not turn to Kawhi.
No, I think in that case, I would have to go for Draymond Green, and Kawhi would be somewhere around, you know, like 700 on the list.
You know, it's amazing to me, and we talked to somebody who's based up in Canada, in Toronto, that, you know, this season, as I mentioned to that guest, there's been, you know, this Kevin Durant cloud over the season. If not now with the playoffs and the injury, it was pre-playoffs almost the entire regular season with his impending free agency. And so I asked, was it that way up in Toronto? And he said, no, Toronto put an end to that at the start of the season. Kawhi said, I'm not talking about it. The team said, we're not talking about it. And it's been a non-factor. And I just think, wow, that would have been a wonderful way to go through this season here with the Warriors, because all we have, I mean, Kevin Durant is, for lack of a better term, held this season hostage in a way.
No, he has. And I don't think he had any intention of
no.
that. It was, you know, nothing malicious, but you're 100% right. If it's all Kevin Durant had to do was early in the season say, listen, I love the Warriors. I really want to focus on winning the championship this season. I will talk about all of this stuff when the season's over. And I do, like, of course, it's not like people wouldn't have talked about it, but it wouldn't have been front and center like it has been. But Durant, who I really have come to admire as a person as well as a player, he just can't help himself sometimes. Like he's so sensitive in a good way and a bad way that he really just cannot help himself, and he just can't stay out of stuff like that. So he kind of was his own worst enemy this year.
He's almost too transparent. We want athletes to be transparent, but he's almost too transparent.
For his own good. Yeah, like it's great for us, right? It's great for the news cycle and ESPN, but it's bad for him because he doesn't want to talk about this stuff. I think it drives him crazy, and yet he drives a lot of it because he just can't, you know, have a thick skin and stay out of it.
We've been asking our guests today, you have $250 of your own dollars to place on game five. Who you betting on? Cam Inman said the Raptors. I am putting my $250 on the Warriors in game five. How do you see it, Phil?
I'm putting mine on the Warriors, but I won't be the least bit surprised if the Raptors wrap it up there. I just feel like I can't bet against the Warriors in that situation because I'd be going against too much of what I've witnessed with my own eyes over the last few years. And, you know, I know the pride that is there. If they win that game, it still doesn't mean they're going to win the series by any means. But I do like their chances of rising up, you know, at least one more time and winning that game. But, oh, man, the atmosphere that they're going to face in Toronto is going to be incredible.
It's going to be fun. A lot of clearly, it's the biggest game of the year. It's a lot at stake.
You heading there, Phil?
I am. I would have gone today, but then I wouldn't have been able to talk to you guys, so I'm heading up tomorrow.
You should have gone up today. There's a lot going on up in TO right about now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Looking forward to you getting more FaceTime on the leader, man.
Yeah, look for that.
All right, buddy. Take care. Good talking to you, Phil.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Great job.
Take care.
Phil Barber doing a great job.
At @skinny_post on Twitter. He's a good follow.
You like that?
Yep.
Okay, there's a lot more we're going to get to. We're going to jump to some phone calls in just a second. I want to turn some things. I'll tell you about Arrested Development. 510, best underappreciated show ever.
Oh, yeah, the text line lit up.
Yeah, characters like George Michael, Joe, Buster Bluth, they were awesome. Arrested Development, easily the 510's favorite show of all time. Great recommendation. Arrested Development, absolutely incredible show. And then
all caps, incredible.
Yes, and someone from the 707 said, there's always money in the banana stand.
And I had no idea what that meant.
And for anyone who knows Arrested Development, that's one of the classic lines. I said, there's money in the banana stand. It is a great, great show. And I'm going to give you one. You know what? Now that I'm on, I'm going to give you one. You want to feel good about yourself? You want to feel good?
I do.
A movie shot here in San Francisco. It's out now, and I watched it the other night. It is fantastic. Called Always Be My Maybe.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and I almost clicked on it yesterday.
I might leave my family for Ali Wong. I adore her. She is
I like
so
the guy,
lovable.
Too. He's from Fresh Off the Boat, right?
Okay.
The actor.
No, the... Wait.
The male lead.
It's... I'm telling you, there's some... The screenplay, because Ali Wong, Randall Park, Michael Galamko wrote it. It's great. I'm saying go see it, man.
And it's relatable because, like, Always Be My Maybe. I think, did you have an Always Be My Maybe when you were, say, 19, 20, 21?
I was in my 30s when I did. Yeah. I don't have a good history.
I met my Always Be My Maybe when I was married.
There you go.
No, but the general premise of it is these two, they grew up together.
Yeah.
They were super tight. And then she went on to be ridiculously rich and famous. He went on to be nothing like that. There was always chemistry between them. They had sex in the back of his janky car.
Hey, family.
And then like there's a family sitting around. Let's sit around the radio and listen to Coz and Herbs midday on a Saturday.
They're driving. I'm just telling you, this Alexandra Wong, this is talent.
She's not Canadian, though.
This is talent. She is a winner in this movie.
Someone just came at you on the 650. Arrested Development isn't funny. It's boring.
Okay. Well, we know. Hey, 650.
Have a nice life.
650. Haters. We know what's going on with the 650.
Have a nice life.
But I'm just telling you, it Always Be My Maybe is...
I'm going to check it out.
I watched it. I was just playing around with Netflix, and I liked the male lead character in that from another show he's on.
That's what I was saying. He's from Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, he's great. I'm a big fan of his.
You weren't even listening to me when I said it. Now it's obvious. I could tell you weren't, but no. You just admitted to it.
I was looking up Ali Wong's information. I'm sorry. I'm right now. She was born in Pacific Heights. She's a San Francisco kid.
Part of the film was shot in Pacific Heights, wasn't
I know
it?
It's really, and that's the other thing. If you just love this city.
Right.
You should take the time to watch it.
What's the movie where somebody's house sitting? It's kind of it's a creepy like
Pacific Heights.
Pacific, yeah. Oh man.
With
Michael Douglas.
Who played
Keaton.
Batman?
Keaton.
Michael Keaton, who pound for pound might be the greatest American actor of all time.
Maybe the best creep type character.
Yeah.
I mean, when he wants to play
Batman.
A creep,
that's Batman. Okay, Adam West and Michael Keaton are Batman.
Ray Kroc. When he played...
I saw that movie.
It's called The Founder?
Is that what it's called? I saw it. It's about the making of McDonald's.
I did not realize that McDonald's was built on this guy basically stealing a mom and pop's idea and globalizing it at their expense. I didn't know that. Now McDonald's, they're bad guys.
And I'd like to know how much of
Unless they're sponsors.
Right. And I'd like to know how much of that is for theater and how much of that is real. But a lot of that stuff... It was pretty ugly in that movie. But
yeah,
he is a brilliant
He is. I love him. What was the one he finally got his Oscar for? The Bird something? Birdman?
I didn't like that movie. Of all things, I did not like Birdman.
He didn't win for Birdman. I thought he should
have. He was supposed to.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought he should have.
Did he win the Golden Globes, but he didn't win
the
Oscar?
Yes, he won one of them, but didn't get the other one.
Yeah.
And that movie, the thing, what didn't you like of it? Was it the one shot? Because it was basically is very avant-garde. It was one camera, one shot, basically.
Right.
Everything. And that must be really hard to do.
I agree.
I went and watched it a second time after I learned, because I'm not savvy enough to be watching it and saying, oh, this is a one shot, you know?
Yeah.
I went and watched it a second time, like, wow, they do this seamlessly. That must be hard.
Maybe the thing that hurt me is that I'd heard such of a build-up, and I thought something more should have happened.
Yeah, I can see
that. I get
it.
He was mocking his own brilliance of being Batman,
mm-hmm.
right? Trying to become an actor in another realm without being known as that superhero character.
Yeah.
I got that, but I just didn't like that movie. You know what he was spectacular in? His first movie ever.
Mr. Mom?
He was even more spectacular in Mr. Mom, which...
220, 221, whatever it takes.
You could do that movie now. You could just watch it now. You would think that that's America today.
Someone's going to do it in the next couple of years. You've noticed that that's the new thing. Movies are coming out, and you're like, wait, that movie already exists. And they don't even say it's a reboot of the 1985 classic. It's just we're presenting this as a first-timer for a new generation.
Mr. Mom is a great, great movie. His first movie with Henry Winkler, Night Shift.
Ooh, I remember that one, too.
That movie I have on DVD, I maintain it might be his greatest work of all time, and he's been brilliant after that.
Bigger question, do you still have a DVD player?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I do not.
I do have one. And I know.
We had a texter saying they were going to give me a Blu-ray, and I said, I don't need a Blu-ray. I only have DVDs. And they're like, dude, how old are you? Blu-rays play DVDs.
So, Ali Wong, if you're in the Bay Area and you like older married men, I'm your guy. I'm just saying.
If you like married older men, I'm sure your wife will enjoy that.
Yes, if that's if that's kind of in your wheelhouse, right here.
You're so creepy.
Oh, well, okay.
Multiplicity, a great movie. Also, Michael Keaton.
It is an interesting movie.
We're up against it. And I know Brenda and Jen are going, oh, my God, I've been holding while they talk about Michael Keaton's discography or filmography.
And Ali Wong, who is my new celebrity
crush.
That's
all you care about.
That's my new celebrity crush. She is a charmer, an absolute charmer. So Urban and Cozumel, we're going to keep coming. We're going right to Brendan Jen when we continue.
Yep.
Is that fair enough? More on the Dubs. We've got another cool guest a little bit later on, and we're efforting Ali Wong as we speak on 95.7 The Game.
Hang on a sec. That's part of your trick, right?
That's not my trick, Michael. It's my illusion.
Now back to Urban and Cozumel.
Get it, Coz. Coz actually has his shirt off. He's got a medallion on.
No problem there.
Clearly hasn't shaved his chest his entire life. I don't know why you would, unless you were a swimmer. But and he's got a white, is that suede? And he's pointing up to the left and down to the right. And
yes, he is.
Gyrating his hips, and I'm frightened and excited at the same time.
You've never questioned your masculinity more in your life than you are right now.
Actually, I'm embracing my...
your pride.
My duality right now.
Yes.
I'm kind of into you. I'm going to be honest.
We mentioned the great Michael Keaton, and I mentioned Night Shift as one of my favorites.
You wanted to get away as quick as possible from me loving you.
No, I didn't. The 408 Night Shift, quote, edible paper. The 510 right after that. This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper. I'm an idea man. Dude, people love that movie. I'm so happy some of you great Bay Area people remember that. One of my favorites was when Henry Winkler's character grabs his machine and he says, this is Chuck telling Bill to shut up. And then he goes instant. So they work. The idea of the movie is that they're working the night shift of the morgue.
Okay.
And so Michael Keaton has slid himself into one of the slots where they put the dead bodies, and he's just listening to it over and over. This is Chuck reminding Bill to shut up. It's just stupid funny. I'll just let you guys know. Final thing on this, Michael Keaton breaking down the word prostitution in front of all the prostitutes is one of the single funniest moments in the Michael Keaton filmography. So if you can find it, if you can YouTubes it, do it, and you're welcome. Let's get back to basketball.
Man, it's amazing what's just going to catch fire when we're on the air.
Yes.
And maybe it's just because the time that we're on and the day we're on and people are a little bit more lax, or maybe they want to be distracted from what's going on with the Warriors. But we must get back to the Warriors. Sadly, yes. We have to get away from Ali Wong, who apparently is known for being pregnant, according to the text line. How do you become known for being pregnant? Does that mean you're, like, pregnant all the time?
I don't know, but she is. I'm telling you, man. She's going to be the new It Girl.
I guess our producer, or was that, no, was that Joe that just told me? Our board op, he says she became a star doing stand-up while pregnant.
Hmm. I could break that down. I'm not going.
Yeah, you could. Please don't.
And here's the only reason, you know what? And every once in a while.
Brenda and Jen are so mad at us.
But we're going to them. We're giving them all the time they need.
Okay.
But the reason that some of these things catch fire is because we have been so ingrained in Warriors discussion for so long. Every once in a while, I just need an appetizer. I need a palate cleanser.
I agree.
And we got our palate cleanser. Now we're back into the Warriors.
Boom. And then we go to Brenda in San Jose. Welcome to the program, Brenda. As Co said, the floor is yours. You have all the time you want.
Oh, gosh. You guys are killing me.
Sorry.
Sorry, sister. Sorry.
But I understand. It's all good.
And you're laughing, so it can't be that bad.
Excuse me?
And you're laughing, so it can't be that bad.
No. It's not that bad. But what I wanted to say is that the Warriors have got to cut down on the turnovers. They had the momentum early in the first quarter. I mean, just right out the gate, and they get three quick turnovers. Boogie turns it over three times almost in a row. They could have been leading by a lot more at the end of the first quarter if they hadn't have turned the ball over so much. They ended the game with 19. They can't beat anybody, yep, especially in the playoffs, with 19 turnovers. And as far as Kerr continuing to start Boogie, I don't know. Maybe he needs to go with Bogut in the beginning or something, because Boogie keeps trying to do things that he can't do right now, and it's hurting the team.
Yeah, it's a good point. As Coase pointed out before, I was saying similar things. He's doing things that he's done before, and he's done it spectacularly, but his body's just not allowing him to do it, and his muscle memory, or maybe just his ego, isn't allowing him to accept that he can't do these things, and he keeps forcing it. And you're right. It's incumbent on Kerr to step in, and as unpopular as it might be, as mad as Boogie might get at you, you can't worry about how your players being mad at you right now. You go with what you think is going to win, and I would definitely like to see Bogut start the next game and just see if maybe his savvy. Look, Bogut is never going to be somebody who tries to do more than he's capable of doing. He's going to stay in his lane, so to speak. And I'd like to see, look, if this is the team that ushered in the era of Warriors greatness, then why not take one last look at it, give Bogut that last start, see if he can, kind of set a fire, spark these old memories and get something going. I'm with you. You got to sit Boogie.
Yeah. So that's all I got, guys. Go Warriors.
Great job.
All right, thank you,
we
Brenda.
We appreciate it, Brenda. Great job on the phones. I don't think I'm in a position where I can say, I got to sit X, Y, or Z. I got to be open to playing anybody. I might have to hope that Boogie catches fire like he did earlier in the series.
Right, because I'm sure there's people listening saying, Herbs, you're nuts. From Curry, the best game played by a Warrior in this series has been Boogie.
We did this. I was on with Joe Lowndes. I was listening as the series was going as well. And they, Joe will say, well, give me the rankings of the MVPs. Who's the MVP of the series? And it changed every, Siakam after game one was the MVP of the series, right?
Right.
But then.
Did you ever give me credit for calling that, by the way? Not that I need it, although clearly I do because I'm bringing it up.
You called it?
I said Pascal Siakam is going to have his coming out party in this series. I didn't realize he was only going to have one great game, but. It was game one.
It's
for
enough.
One game, I was right.
But no. But it's enough.
Yeah.
So much so that the Warriors have had to now consider him in their game plan.
Absolutely.
Which has opened things up for different people as the series has continued. So that'd be as right as anybody.
Yeah, okay.
So Pascal Siakam.
Siakam, but back to your point. Yeah. After game one, he's the MVP.
But if you go after game two and the Warriors win game two, a lot of people thought, they'd put Steph in there or... Game three.
Even after game three, it's still Steph in there because
he threw
the series.
47.
Because the series, even though they lost the game, the series is still only 2-1. That's awfully early to be naming an MVP, but for the sake of sports talk radio.
Yeah, and they were trying to do it. Actually, they're the changing order of it.
Okay.
Guys moving up and down. Siakam moved, from one to maybe four in game two because he just was had little effect.
I think Curry jumped to one after game three, even in a loss. What do you think?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.